Yo, what's up, fellas? Welcome back to another episode of the Josh A Podcast. Feels good to be back, man. It's been like 2 weeks since I did the last episode, and you know, you guys have probably been wondering, like, what the hell is he doing? What's taking so long? I need the heavenly sweet angelic voice of Josh A while I go to work. But the reason I was gone was because I was finishing up my new album, Fearless 2. And I just announced it today. I'm pretty excited about it. Like, just in the few hours that I've announced it, like, since then, it already has almost 1,000 pre-saves, which is amazing. I'll put the pre-save link in the description so that way you guys can be notified whenever it goes live. The album drops on June 17th. And also, if you guys haven't gotten your tickets yet for tour, I just gotta ask, what are you doing? Because not only is this the first tour in 3 years, but I'm also dropping a new album right before I go on the road. It's gonna be fun. New music. And before I get into everything, I just want to say, like, the way how I'm doing this podcast episode is, first I'm gonna talk about the album, then I'm gonna start getting into all the nerdy stuff, because I tell you what, man, it's been a fantastic weekend to be a nerd, because we got Obi-Wan, we got Stranger Things Season 4, we also got The Boys Season 3 starting this Friday, we got the Modern Warfare 2 reveal, which I'm pretty stoked about, there's the Indiana Jones reveal, and then there's also the, the like leaked battle pass for the new Fortnite season, which I think this is the season that I'm going to get back into the game, like, fully. So yeah, I'll be talking about that stuff later on in the episode. And if you guys haven't picked up on it, like, I'm a giant nerd. That's just this is the stuff that I'm into. This is what the podcast is for the most part going to be about outside of the music. And one of the beneficial parts of, you know, me being a massive nerd is that I've like used that, all that stuff that I'm into, as inspiration for this next album. So I want to talk about Fearless 2, but I'm not going to get, like, super into the nitty-gritty details or anything like that. I'm not going to reveal, like, Easter eggs and stuff. I sort of just want to talk about the history of it. The reason I don't want to talk about, you know, the specifics yet is because the album's not out yet. I don't want to build up any sort of unrealistic expectations or anything by me talking about it too much. So I'm just going to kind of give you some, like, some history about how this album came together and stuff, and then after it's out, then we can really get into it. So I've been trying to get this album made since about 2020. I always had the intention of doing a Fearless 2, and, like, I started You're Not Alone as a Fearless 2 initially, but then as I was developing that album, it started to get its own sound, and I didn't feel like it would fit in the whole Fearless 2 world, because it's, like, very orchestral and dark. And then when I was starting Lonely Vibes, I wanted that to be Fearless 2 initially as well, but then I started to really get into, like, the pop sound and all that stuff. And after that album was out of the way, like, after doing a more pop-centric album, what I started to realize is that I kind of missed just, like, rapping and talking to you guys. It's like the, that's what I really liked about the You're Not Alone album and a lot of my releases before that. And I feel like that's where I, you know, make the best connection with you guys through the music, is just, like, me just talking about my problems that I'm experiencing in life. So that way you guys have, you know, somebody to look to and be like, oh, I'm not alone in this stuff. 'Cause, like, all the pop stuff is fun, and it's been a great way to, like, reach new fans and bring new people into the community and everything. But what I want to do for this project is do something that is exclusively for the fans. I just want to make a cool concept album and everything that can get you guys invested into a storyline, not only where it's just you're listening to songs, but you're also, you know, diving into the story. And with how I do, like, world building stuff with Little Revive, I've just been thinking, like, why not do that with Josh A, and maybe even, you know, have a crossover situation, create my own, you know, multiverse of madness, create my own MCU type shit. I've always loved trying to bring something more to the table that isn't just songs, I guess. And it's like the songs are still there. You can just listen to it as music, you know, if you're just playing video games or just driving or whatever. But, like, there's also that extra element for people who do want to dive in and really, you know, understand the world that I'm creating and stuff. Because, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, all that stuff, that's, like, you know, a big part of my life. And I want to use that as sort of inspiration to how I can present my music and do it in a new way that, you know, most artists don't really do, because the whole concept album thing exists, but even bringing in specific visuals for it and bringing it to life, I feel like, is something unique that you don't see a lot of artists doing. The only people that I can specifically think of are, like, the Gorillaz, but even in the rap world, it's hard to find people who are just creating worlds and stuff and creating a full-on storyline. So you guys can call me, you know, the rap game George Lucas. That's pretty much what I want to be known as. That would be sick. And as for the overall concept of this project, it really stemmed from me fleshing out Little Revive's character more. Like, around the time that I quote-unquote retired Little Revive, which is like last year, I was thinking more and more about how I can make that character fully, you know, dimensional, I guess, so it's not just like a two-dimensional character. It's just a spooky Grim Reaper looking guy, you know, who makes hard music. I wanted to really flesh it out and see what I could bring to the table with it. So I tweeted this thing out on my Little Revive account where I basically wrote out this whole like treatment for what Little Revive is, and it kind of acts as a prelude to this new album. So I'll just read it for you guys, you know, so you don't have to like look or switch tabs back over to the video. But basically, here it is. Little Revive was an aspiring rapper who passed away after one of Josh's shows. He was waiting outside the venue to ask him for advice on how to get started. Josh and his entourage just brush him off and cross the street to get back to the tour bus. Revive tries to follow him, but he gets hit by a car. And then Revive gets sent to Grim Peaks, which is, it's like a purgatory world, where he's tasked with working for the Grim Reaper to help him collect souls. He's basically the Grim Reaper's caddy. And the Grim Reaper is, like, the mayor of Grim Peaks. He, like, runs the town. And the Fredericks, who you've seen in the You're Not Alone cover, and like, I even had a photo of like, an actual person in a Frederick costume and everything. Those people are the people who never passed on to heaven or hell. And the longer you stay in purgatory, in Grim Peaks, the more you become this, like, ghoul creature and stuff. You start to lose aspects of your humanity and who you are. And that also plays into why Little Revive looks the way he does as well. He's starting to become a Frederick. And you know, he wants to leave because if he, you know, he doesn't want to fully become a Frederick and just be enslaved to the Grim Reaper. And, you know, that's the reason why you see him wear the hood and everything, because it's like he's losing his facial features. He's no longer a human, basically. And, but yeah, so the Fredericks act as attack dogs for the Reaper, and they point him towards individuals who are about to die and need to be taken to Grim Peaks, and they feed off of the fear of death. So whenever you're afraid that you're going to die, that's whenever the Fredericks can, like, smell you out, basically. And they also, like, guard the whole town of Grim Peaks. So if you try to leave or if you try to go out of the bounds, they bring you back in. And then the last paragraph, it says, feeling like Josh was the cause of his death, Little Revive wants to get revenge. He's determined to find a way out and get back to reality to kill Josh. One night, he steals the Grim Reaper's scythe, which holds the powers to travel between Grim Peaks and reality, or like, life itself. And the only problem is that Little Revive is not the Grim Reaper, so he doesn't know how to properly use it, and he shatters reality in the process whenever he crosses over. So that acts as like the prelude to Fearless 2, and the idea is that now, with reality being shattered, it also brings in all the other versions of me from all my past albums and stuff. So we follow the real life me, the like, reality me, and then all the other versions of myself that come out are like the versions of myself that I created. And every time I create a new version of myself, it creates a new Josh in his own reality. You know, there's like Retroland, Blessed, Disgrace, Fearless, like they all just start their own sort of reality, I guess. And they get pulled in whenever Little Revive makes that switch over. And Little Revive basically wants to kill Josh and send him to Grim Peaks. And it's sort of like he wants to trade places with him. And in the process, Little Revive also wants to take over the world and sort of morph it into how he wants society to be. Because overall, in addition to hating Josh, he really hates society because he feels rejected by it. Because he's like an aspiring rapper, but he's not getting any traction and all that, and like his entire time while he was on Earth, he just felt like rejected by everything. So now what he's doing is, you know, whenever he crosses over, in addition to getting revenge on Josh, he's also going to make the world pay attention to him, basically. So for Fearless 2, it's basically all these Joshes have to band together to stop Little Revive. And the story doesn't end with Fearless 2. It's going to keep on going. I don't want to give too much away, but I will say that the next Little Revive project will continue this story, and then it's going to kind of ping-pong back and forth between Josh A and Little Revive. And I definitely understand that this whole concept and everything, it's all a massive mouthful. So what I am working on as well is, you know, I used to always talk about a graphic novel and doing one, and that's pretty much what this is, and that's why I've decided, you know, I fleshed out the story a lot in my head over the past, like, year and a half, So what I want to do is start incorporating it into the albums and then do a graphic novel around the whole thing so that way you guys can get like the full picture of it. And what I'm hoping this can be is like me sort of dipping my toes into, you know, starting to create new stories and maybe movies or different graphic novels wherever it's not set in this universe that I'm creating, like create whole new worlds and stuff that isn't related to all the Josh A stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much the storyline up until Fearless 2 starts, and then you'll have to listen to the album to hear the story progress and continue. And I gotta tell you, man, this whole process has been the most fun I've ever had making an album. I pretty much just went back to the basics with how I used to make music and just focused on what I'm saying and what I'm rapping about more so than, you know, trying to hit the charts or be a massive artist or whatever. I just wanted to make stuff that was true to myself. And for anybody who was around, you know, like around the time of my come up as an artist and stuff, like the Blessed 2 days, I kept on getting a lot of Blessed 2 vibes as I was making this project. It was kind of like just a real free-flowing process and doing skits and stuff. Like, it's been fun. It's been fun. That's all I can say. I don't want to reveal too much, guys. Again, just call me the rap game George Lucas. That's that's all I want. Okay, so now that we got that stuff out of the way, the next thing I want to talk about is, like, all the entertainment stuff going on. Like I said earlier, it's a fantastic time to be a nerd. The first show I want to talk about is Stranger Things, and I'm going to be diving into all the spoilers, so if you guys are not caught up yet, you might want to just tune out until you catch up and then like come back to this episode. But anyways, yeah, in my opinion, this might be the best season of Stranger Things since season one. One of my favorite aspects of the season is how they took a lot of inspiration from Nightmare on Elm Street. And if you guys know anything about me, I'm a huge Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street fan. Like a lot of my old songs, I usually throw his name around sometimes. And the reason I love Nightmare on Elm Street is because back whenever I was a kid, I was like 8 years old. That was the first movie that got me into horror and just like loving all aspects of Halloween and creepy stuff. I remember it was like back whenever Blockbuster was around, and if that gives you any insight into how much of a boomer I'm becoming, it was back whenever Blockbuster was around. I was walking through the store. I walked through the horror section and I saw Nightmare on Elm Street and I was like, oh man, that looks cool. And then like I begged my mom to rent it, and she was like, are you sure you're gonna watch it? I was like, yes, I promise. And then the first like 5 seconds of the movie, I'm like, nope, I'm out. And I felt so defeated because of that, because I couldn't make it through the movie because I was so scared. But I mean, I was 8 years old, you know. But as I got older, then I started to really appreciate horror movies and stuff. But Nightmare on Elm Street always holds a close spot in my heart because that was like my first experience with horror, I guess. And what's really cool about this new season of Stranger Things is how inspired it is by Nightmare on Elm Street. Because, I mean, you have the villain who kind of pulls you in from reality into the upside down and then toys with you. But then there's moments where you can escape and like get out, really similar to how Freddy Krueger taunts his victims and stuff. And if it's any indication by how they're inspired by Nightmare on Elm Street, they even had Freddy Krueger himself, Robert Englund, do a little cameo in the show. And another thing, I didn't realize I would like this as much as I did. It's the whole like Russia subplot with Hopper. In one of the later episodes, he opens up about his past and like explains how his daughter died because he was like a veteran who was around radioactive chemicals and stuff. Like, that whole thing was fantastic and really emotional. And speaking of emotional scenes, there's that whole scene where Max is running from the villain and trying to escape back into her reality while the song Running Up That Hill plays. And that might have been like the most standout scene of the show, and it totally reminded me of how great of a song Running Up That Hill is. And that plot twist, wherever it turns out that one was like that dude the whole time, and on top of that, he's also the villain, like crazy. And man, am I grateful that Obi-Wan and the boys are coming out, because like to have to wait a whole month for the remainder of the Stranger Things episodes to come out, I don't know what I would do. At least now I'm able to like kind of bide my time, you know, with Obi-Wan, the boys, Barry, the Umbrella Academy coming out next month. And another thing about Stranger Things before I move on to the next topic, I just forgot how good 80s vibes were. Not only that, but just like good horror in general as well, because I don't know, it's been rough trying to find good new horror movies. And just watching this new season of Stranger Things, which in my opinion, it's one of the best yet. Like, it has me so inspired to pick up the pen and start writing some horror stories, you know, maybe even breaking into some short films or some movies or something. I guess I just forgot how much I enjoyed, you know, good horror, I guess. And what I'm really hoping too is whenever Halloween Horror Nights happens this year, I really hope there's a Stranger Things house. That's like, if there's a Stranger Things house and a Michael Myers Halloween house, then I'm definitely going to Halloween Horror Nights. Maybe that's something I could like take you guys with me for. You know, I could do a little one of those little ancient things called vlogs, I guess. And if you guys don't know what Halloween Horror Nights is, it's basically Universal Studios. They do their own like Halloween festival type thing with haunted houses and all that. It goes throughout like the end of September to the first week of November. And yeah, I mean, if I ever fell off, like if music was no longer an option or something, like something horrible happened, I lost my voice or whatever, then that would be like a dream job, just helping design the haunted houses there. That would be so cool. Anything horror related, anything Halloween related, I'm just a massive sucker for. But yeah, anyway, so moving on to Obi-Wan. So if we're talking about Obi-Wan, we're going to be doing something a little bit new for the podcast. I'm going to be bringing on the very first Josh A podcast guest, which is Z-Wall. And typically, you know, bringing on somebody like Z-Wall, you would probably think, oh, they're going to talk about music and stuff. Nope. We're talking about Star Wars. We are going full virgin and there's no going back. So without further ado, here is me and Z-Wall talking about the new episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And a quick warning before this starts, we do get into spoilers, so just be careful. And one other note is that I sort of just took our like hour-long conversation and just chopped it up to the best bits, like the funniest bits. So yeah.
No, I was just saying, like, I thought that they changed the design of the Inquisitor Man since the trailer show, but I guess I only watched it like once or twice.
But I mean, I guess it's like he looks different in the Clone Wars, and I don't know what.
Oh,
it
he's
is.
Based off a real character. You see, I'm not that deep. I'm not like animated series deep.
Then why am I bringing you on the podcast?
No, I've seen every piece of live action Star Wars except the Clone Wars, and I'm slowly working through it.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's I don't know if it's the Clone Wars. I think it's Rebels. I also am not fully caught up on the Clone
then
Wars.
Then why are you attacking me?
Because I thought I was bringing in an expert. You know, if it's just two jackasses who don't have any idea like the whole lore of Star Wars, then we're
excuse me. I forgot to get a fucking degree in Star Wars history. My fault.
Okay. Anyways,
I was kind of excited to see more of that rotating lightsaber used, but now, I mean, now that bro is dead, you know.
Do you think he's dead, though?
I mean, I'm not, like, you know, he took the entire lightsaber, like, through him, you know?
I don't know, but like in the canon of the show and everything, and all of Star Wars, his character lives on past this.
Does it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and, you see, if I knew that information, then maybe.
Yeah, and, like, Rebels and stuff, like he lives like past these events. So I don't know. I feel like maybe he just goes in the back of the tank and he's just healing.
Oh yeah. Just got impaled by a full length lightsaber. I'm just gonna go take a dip, you know, and have the entire wound close up. All right.
Well, I'm not
saying it's impossible.
I mean, I did hear though, let me confirm this. Apparently he has two stomachs. So
shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
let me double check this. And also, I I'm on Wikipedia right now.
Oh my god!
and he they do in fact have two stomachs.
Oh my god!
So maybe she just stabbed him in one of the stomachs.
I want to know how that got introduced to the plot, like before this show, because like you know they can show him coming back like, oh thank god I have my second stomach, but like. How did they get that across before? Like, has this exact thing happened?
I don't know.
In Clone Wars? I feel like I should watch
maybe.
Or he's in Rebels. Yeah.
Yeah. just the fact that he conveniently had two stomachs this whole time.
That's just the biggest cop-out ever. You know, that is something to me that, like, says that, like, in a previous plot point, right? Like maybe in Clone Wars, maybe in Rebels, they killed him in an episode. And then they're like, wait a minute. I kind of liked this character.
Right, right. He had a cool design.
How can we make him survive this altercation? They had to retcon his death, you know?
I feel like that's a common problem in Star Wars, is that the creators have a character that just has a really cool design and that they get attached to, and they're like, no, let's bring him back. We shouldn't have killed him. It's like Boba Fett, you know? He had the coolest design in the whole series. And they're like, you know what?
Darth Maul gets cut in half. And they're like, how do we bring him back?
Let's just give him some legs.
Yeah. through the power of the Force. Yeah.
Yeah.
He grew legs. I'm excited for the next episode, though. Because, you know, the big question with Hayden Christensen coming back as Darth Vader, how are you going to make him Darth Vader if he's wearing a mask? You know? Like, if there's a voice, like, to Darth Vader, like James Earl Jones,
yeah,
and if he's wearing a mask, it may as well not be Hayden Christensen. But that final shot gives me hope that they're going to do some crazy shit. Maybe him with his helmet off.
I mean,
and just like a little like respirator mask.
I would love a flashback sequence of
that too.
Of the whole Clone Wars era and shit. Like that would be great.
Well, I mean, they kind of did that in the first episode when he's having like the nightmares.
He's having the nightmares. I wasn't that existing clips?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was existing clips, but you can't exactly throw Hayden Christensen in 20-year-old footage because he's like an old man now. He's got wrinkles.
No. What I'm talking about is like it would be sick if they did like an episode that was a flashback, like to the Clone Wars era with like Anakin and Obi-Wan, and maybe Ahsoka in there too.
Oh, that'd be sick. Hayden Christensen having like live-action canon with Ahsoka would be amazing.
Yeah, and like I'm sure that they could de-age Hayden Christensen. Like he doesn't look that old. Like he looks a little older, but like I feel like that would be really easy compared to what they're doing to Luke Skywalker in the in the Mandalorian shit.
I will say on that, Ewan McGregor looks great.
Yeah.
Like he looks like he just stepped out of Episode 3.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It's been like what, 20 years at this point?
Right, and what's I saw another tweet about this, and it was like, somebody put like a picture of Obi-Wan from the show, and then Alec Guinness Obi-Wan, and they were like, we're supposed to believe that this is 10 years between each other.
Yeah, I had that exact thought.
Yeah, which like I maybe Jedi just have this sort of thing where they dramatically age, you know, in the span of a few years. I don't know.
Force aging.
Yeah, or like. Maybe like Darth Vader scares Obi-Wan so much that his hair turns white. I don't know. Do you think that this show should like go on past this season? Do you think they should do more? I think that they should do more.
Do more with Obi-Wan?
Yeah, yeah. Or just
I think it depends. I don't know.
Basically, the whole like timeline between episodes 3 and 4, I feel like there's so much material that they could put in there.
I mean, what we got, like 10 years? Something like that?
Got 10 years, and you also have... So like, at the same time that Obi-Wan is going on, that's also the same time that Solo is going on. It's like a year or two before.
Oh, right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so like, in addition to that, at the end of Solo, there's Darth Maul. So Darth Maul is on Tatooine, I believe. Or he's somewhere. I don't remember if the planet was Tatooine or not in Solo. But, like, Darth Maul is floating around in the ether somewhere. There's got to be Mace Windu.
I think there is a lot of content to dive into, but they have to do it in a way that makes Episode 4 make sense. You know? Because, like, Alec Guinness is Obi-Wan to, like, match that and not, like, attempt to retcon it. He's pretty weak. You know, in those 10 years.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't really build Obi-Wan up to, like, be this crazy Jedi. Like, if he gets his swing back, you know, and he starts going toe-to-toe with people with lightsabers, you can't really build him up and then expect him to you know, just lose all that over the course of 10 more years to become Alec Guinness. So, I think that, like, yes, they could, but they got to be careful with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there is a way that they could do it. Maybe it's like you have Obi-Wan as the A story, and then maybe there's like also a B story going on with like Mace Windu or something. I would just love to see them like start like closing open-ended characters and stuff, like Darth Maul and Mace Windu.
You know, just going just off of, like, people who fall in Star Wars, like, out of frame, they don't die.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't think a single character who has ever fallen has actually died in that moment. Like, Boba Fett somehow survived. You know, oh, the Beskar in the armor. Yeah, yeah, he climbed his way out. Darth Maul was cut in half.
Right.
You know? He's fine. I don't think a little bit of lightning and a bit of falling would have killed Mace Windu. So...
Oh, yeah, also
fairly easy to write him back in.
Also, another character, when you said lightning, I just immediately thought of it, Palpatine as well.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow.
Palpatine is back.
Yeah, somehow. Palpatine has returned.
Somehow.
I do got to say, I do have to say, the only weak point of this show so far is any chase sequence in this show is not good.
Don't even get me started on the flea trying to kidnap Leia.
Having the bassist of the Red Hot Chili Peppers chase her through a forest and not make any attempt to actually catch her.
Right.
I thought that was like so poorly done.
Like I'm watching four grown adults chasing a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And they get blocked by like, you know, 4-inch thick twigs.
Oh yeah.
You know, blocking. Oh no, there's a branch in my way. How am I gonna catch this child? Like
one of them actually like face plants into the branch and it like knocks them over. It's yeah. Like it's like the Three Stooges were chasing Leia. So to conclude this this, you know, nerdy ass, virgin ass discussion that we just had, do you have anything you want to promote before you go? Do you have anything you wanna say before you go?
Yes, please follow me on Twitter. That is twitter.com/whoiszwall. New music coming soon. And thank you so much for having me on.
Okay. Yeah, cool. All right. Don't follow him. And we'll leave it there.
Come on, man.
that was a nice discussion. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that. And, you know, I liked it so much that I think what I'm going to do is start having Zach on whenever I talk about Star Wars or anything nerdy, like it, pretty much any TV show or whatever that we're both watching and are both into. Cause a lot of it's like our typical conversations that we have like privately. So I figured, you know, our conversations are kind of funny. So it would be fun to, you know, put it out there, put it on the podcast. And, yeah. So that's going to do it for today's episode. If you guys have any questions, leave a comment down below, like whatever your questions are, and I'll answer them in the next podcast. I'm going to skip the Q&A for today's episode just because it's gone on entirely too long. So yeah, guys, I'll see you in the next one. And if you haven't gotten tickets yet for the tour, make sure you get tickets. If you haven't pre-saved the album yet, make sure you pre-save it so that way you get notified when it goes live. Yeah, I appreciate you. I'll see you in the next one.